consists of archival recordings of radio happenings that took place for the 20th edition of Pop Montreal. These happenings occurred under a series entitled Calling Planet Earth, Ligne d'Alerte, and use site-specific radio interventions that convey emergency transmissions while re-examining social and power relations between center and periphery. For the next 2 hours, you'll hear the work of Jamila Malika Abubakari, Aham Lee, Amanda Gutierrez, and Seth Cardinal Dodging Horse, who each use sound, radio, and transmission to share their practices of collective listening, witnessing, solidarity, and resistance in response to moments of crisis. Each harness radio as a material for carrying presence through space and time. Radio has long served humanity in times of crisis, and the current global emergency is no exception. With that, I leave you with the works.
I have to say it. I'm a black woman.
Black women.
I come from a black woman.
Determined, fighting black women.
Who came from a black woman, who came from a black woman.
God bless us.
And I'm going to give birth to a black woman. And
generations of black women. Generations of black women. Generations of generations black women.
Back to 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 back. And I get it, you know,
it's like. Determined, fighting black women.
Why is it so hard for people to understand or accept me?
You know, and
generations of black women have carried a disproportionate burden in the family as they are determined and were determined to keep its integrity intact against the constant onslaught of indignities to which it has been subjected.
So you get what I mean?
So if I say something, I'm saying something for a reason.
I gotta be the bitter black bitch because I like have something to say.
The
about
fact
me.
That I even have to answer these questions. The fact that I have to feel as if I have to prove myself, because every single part of me is being questioned.
As they are determined and were determined.
Whenever it comes to our thing, and I feel
like so many times black women say stuff and nobody gives a shit. Excuse my language. Nobody gives a fuck when sometimes black women say something. But somebody of another complexion, somebody of another color, they say something. And then it's like, we're taking it to court.
You know, and
it's time to get serious.
You know, and
hashtag me too.
And it makes me upset.
Why is it so hard for people to understand or accept me?
But I'm saying in general, whenever I have to say anything about anything, then it's like, oh, here goes this crazy black bitch. Here this, da 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 da.
That she refused to be treated as less than a human being any longer.
So whatever you're feeling, take it to the altar. Because I'm not the one that's responsible for your feelings.
And that's really what you're attacking me for? That's really, like, think about it. You have no other reason to come at me.
I think people have such a perception of a black woman being so strong that we're just supposed to take anything. And then when we don't, we're weak. Well, no, I'm supposed to get beat down by everybody that comes near me? No, I'll be that bitch.
I gotta be the bitter black bitch because I, like, have something to say about it.
But at that moment, just to hear that, you don't even know how to react. You don't know if to be like, the fuck you just said to me right
what
now?
The fuck?
But she's also talking about all of the anonymous black women who gave their lives through their participation.
I'll be that bitch. If that means I have to stand for me and I have to show other young women that you should not let people take advantage of you, no matter who they are. I don't care if it was the goddamn president.
Oh!
So yes. I have to say it. So if I say something, I'm saying something for a reason. I have to say it.
We really have to talk about this.
You know, I can get crucified for saying things like this, but it is the truth. And I know that a lot of people like to cover the sun with one finger and pretend that the issue is not there. But that's what's happening. That because nobody wants to talk about it, it's been happening for years and years. Nobody is actually being vocal about it.
I don't like when people think that somebody is just going to be saying something just to say it.
Hers has been a desperate effort to make a place of dignity for her people.
First of all, I love black people. I love my people. You know what I'm saying?
We're impeccable. We are impeccable. We're special, and the world is just going to have to deal with that.
So whatever you're feeling, take it to the altar, because I'm not the one that's responsible for your feelings.
First of all, I love black people. I love my people. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, y'all sweep that shit right under the fucking rug.
We're just supposed to take anything thrown at us.
You know what? Unfortunately, I almost feel that because I've heard it so many times.
And it makes me upset.
You know, there's this part of me that felt like, I don't even want to be mad at you. I just feel like I should educate you about it. Like, I don't even want to be mad at you because at this point, where have you been living? Right. Under a rock? Like, mm-hmm. But at the same time, I can't even be mad at you because
it's kind of like, what the hell, you know, you just lazy. No, she depressed.
So until y'all motherfuckers are ready to talk about what y'all owe me, whether the number 7 trillion or 8 trillion or 9 trillion, at the very fucking least, y'all owe me the right to my fucking identity and to not exploit that shit.
Nobody really talks about it. We kind of just shut up and take it and just sit back.
No, we just supposed to take anything thrown at us.
No.
It's like black, like a black woman can like really sit here and say whatever the fuck she feels like without being shot at or like sprayed by a hose or some shit.
You know, I can get crucified for saying things like this, but it is the truth.
We can say without the slightest hesitation that there has never been a single moment in the history of our people in this country when black women were not intensely involved in the resistance struggle.
You get what I mean?
God bless us.
My mother's raised me to be an incredible woman, and she's a strong, incredible example of what to be and how to fight through obstacles in life. And I'm sure her mom has also taught her. And that's how I'm going to be.
And when I speak of black women, I have to...
And I'm sure her mom has also taught her.
Praise my own mother. And when I reflect upon the long and infinitely rich history of struggle that has been written with the sweat and blood of black women.
You have to look a certain type of way in order to be pretty. Your hair needs to be straight and silky in order to be pretty.
No, it's not cool. It's not cool because that's not how it should be. I'm tired of that's it.
That's their problem. That's your problem. You know what I mean? That's your problem. You're picking and choosing.
We come in so many shades.
Listen, I'm a creative individual. I have so many shades.
We're impeccable. We are impeccable. We're special.
Oh my God, you're so pretty for being a black girl.
Really?
At the end of the day, I don't wish nobody no ill, but I gotta be down for me. If I'm gonna be down for anybody, I've got to be down for me. So
that once black women became involved in the fight for the liberation of their people,
God bless us,
then half the battle was won.
It's over, it's done, but at least anybody else knows I won't be tried. That's the real point of it all. You have to set your boundaries. You know what I'm saying? I have to let people know. Now y'all know.
I must admit that I felt very triumphant to be able to speak of the involvement of black women in the struggle. Black women who said no, they would not allow another one of their sisters to be swallowed up by the racist monster of oppression. That she refused to be treated as less than a human being any longer.
You're listening to Undefined Radio. Welcome. And to all the people listening right outside the steps of this building, people listening in the neighborhood at 99.1, people listening online at undefined.fm, or people listening in the Espace Pop Gallery in the next couple of weeks, welcome to everyone. We're very happy to have with us tonight Autumn Lee, and the performance that you're about to hear is called Multiple Selves. There are three songs in this performance. There are Glitch Ghosts, Glitch is Error, and Ghost Echoes. The singers are going to perform these works once, then we're going to have a little conversation with them. And then there will be a second set at about 1:30 the hour. So without any further ado, Multiple Selves.
Ah! Walter. Walter.
I
Ice. Multiple selves, Arum Lee, featuring Sarah Albu, Kathy Kennedy, and Andrea Young on vocals. And thank you very much for that. Before we run the performance a second time, we thought we would take a few minutes for a conversation with the artists, all of the artists. Also joining me is co-curator Martin Rodriguez. Perhaps we can start just by asking you a little bit about the origin of the work and the ideas that go into it.
I was starting this project because I felt the computer generated voices very depend on the female's voice, and we have a technology to make the kind of genderless or gender ambiguous voices, but why you're not using them? And I studied it, and that was the start of this project. And I made a text-to-speech application that which used for all the computer-generated voice. And I made all the pitch and the length, and then tones are different, so that it's not really communicating your word, but then it has a voice of multiple stuff. Is that making sense?
What I find really fascinating is there's this. In your program note, you talk about mimicking the text to speech application, and it's. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to me because these applications, these are supposed to be designed for our convenience, right? They're
yes.
to accommodate our needs as humans.
Yes.
And yet, in the mimicry that you've created, it feels really highly contortionist, right? Like the vocalists are really working very, very hard and bending their voices out of shape in order to conform to what ends up being the text-to-speech phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's perhaps a question for the performers. What it felt like, what the experience was of working together, the three of you, with almost as one voice distributed among three. I don't know if someone has something to start us off on that.
Maybe we should introduce them first.
Okay.
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah. So Kathy Kennedy is about to answer, I think, and We also have Sarah Albu and Andrea Young on stage with us tonight.
I just love the concept so much of multiple cells and of the aim of these three people trying to do these very disparate things together and make a whole. I just find it to be a beautiful living metaphor for Arum's concept.
There must be a difficulty, I assume, that you want to address?
I could add to that is yes. That there is a difficulty in it, but there is a very contemporary musicality in it that speaks to a lot of, I think, us. Like, it's easy to understand a robotic, glitchy musical universe for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though it's very awkward and like sort of square and on-off kind of feeling, it's almost like a movement that I think we can all relate to, strangely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the aesthetic of, a lot of music that is about glitch and about error, the thing is that we are trying to imitate these idiomatic digital sounds. Humans trying to imitate digital sounds.
We imitate what's in our environment, like folk music, a lot of vocal folk music comes from imitating sounds that are around in nature. And I've had young voice students who sing like they have auto-tune on their voice because that's what they listen to. And I don't know, some people might find that really disturbing, but I find it so interesting.
I heard that as well.
Yeah.
It's like almost
it's coming into how we use our voices.
An
like
imitation
machine
really produced music and digital music.
But doing it totally naturally.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious because even though we're talking about mimicking, something that is also happening here that our listeners can't see is that there was a score for this. So it's not just what we listened to was a call and response, but you're not just listening and then and trying to imitate on the spot. There's a score that you were working from. So I'm curious if you could describe to our listeners in the best way what this score looks like and how it was putting it together. How did you write the notation for something like this?
The score is the product of hours of scrutiny of Sarah Albu. Let Sarah take it from there.
Well, another thing I'll say, we're not following it strictly, and it's not typical Western notation either. What it looks like is it's two to three lines with all the phonemes, so little pieces of text, like the each syllable broken up and distributed amongst us. So this came, Arum already did a lot of this work and sent us a list of all the syllables that she recorded. So we've got kind of a visual aid where we see the text written, the sentences written, and then we see it separated into all of the sounds. And we have suggestions of which groups of syllables we should be aiming for, but we're allowed to fill in the blanks with what we hear and respond naturally and respond to what inspires us. So it's like a map, it's not a strict score, it's like a memory aid and a map to help us But we certainly have been discussing the possibility for notating it very, very strictly, what we've heard. It would be a different kind of performance. And I think it would be really cool, too.
It would, yeah, it would probably take more multiple selves
to make it accurate. Sometimes there are more than three voices at once in the recording, but then you hear a kind of vocal glitch, too, where we're trying to do more than one thing at once.
Mm-hmm. I was curious where the text came from.
Yeah. It's the 1/3 is from my writing, and 2/3 is from the book called The Glitch Feminism. I don't recall.
By Legacy Russell.
Yes, Legacy Russell's. And then I got inspired by it because our voice is like a single, and then I was thinking about I was reading it, and then I got the idea from the book, and then I put the quotation into my song.
Yes.
I'm also curious. I mean, you're just talking about the creation of the score and that sort of representation of sound through visuals, and that leads me to ask about the what you'll be showing in the Espace Pop Gallery that people will be able to see in a couple of days, really.
Yes, yes. I print on the acrylic the score from the tablet score from the written by Sarah Abu.
Okay.
And so people will see these the little hint of, because it's not all the scores, it's one song, and people will see that. Yeah. And it was very, I mean, from my perspective, I made this song, and then I work with these beautiful people. And I was very nice to see the people so there was a score, and even though we have a tablet score, it's not really a score, and then there's no time signature, and there's not like a classical music score, so people trying to like communicate to make one song. It's like a constant, like, how can I, managing the, like, which part you're gonna take, and then how you're gonna, so it's all the conversation that I watched, because I was the one that I'm not singing, that this real singing, is that making sense?
Sure.
It was very, very interesting to see how people are communicating to make one thing without any kind of rules. Is that?
Yes. We were making our own rules for it.
And
your openness, too, is was a really beautiful process to... to work with you and to ask you, like, okay, this isn't exactly what's on the recording. I don't know if we can reproduce it exactly, but let's try.
All those processes were like, I think, the great performance.
It's kind of neat that it's taking on a path of experiments.
You've also in the past presented this work in video form, and tonight it's a kind of a special sort of performance where, I mean, here we are in a concert hall, the audience can't see you, they're just outside, or perhaps they're listening to a recording. How do you feel about the different ways of working with the piece and presenting the piece in sort of more or less live situations?
I think that the radio is an interesting translation, because radio is less digital, and so it renders the work back into the analog domain. on some level. And I think that the lack of seeing ourselves is very much like the process of abstracting this spoken text into these segregated phonemes. So I think it's a really likely logical conclusion.
Well, thank you so much. With that, I think we're going to go back and move into the next performance.
Okay.
So you will hear that as I walk.
Hicimos como un collage para de diferentes audios de videos de YouTube, hasta cosas que ya teníamos en el archivo, hasta grabaciones que hicimos específicamente para eso. Primero fue como una cosa así como más abierta de reunir material y hacer cosas con ese material, y después
ir haciendo
así como más por proyecto, como que se hacen, se trabaja de diferentes formas.
CineWalk is an augmented reality audio walk featuring the voices of activists and artists who embrace the collage as a tool of resistance, exploration, and coalition, working collectively for freedom, autonomy, and equality. The song walk features the voices from three street art collectives, collage feminist
audios de videos de YouTube, hasta cosas que ya teníamos en el archivo, hasta grabaciones que hicimos específicamente para eso. Primero.
So, he's saying that the words that you just listened to in Spanish, she's explaining how the collage and their sounds are very, the form of the collage are in an important way of approaching collaboration in sound. And that's what she was explaining through the words. And also, you hear my voice. So if you do this walk by yourself, you will hear the instructions. Hi, Monte. Hello. Yeah, no, we're just starting. So you will hear that introduction in this part of the section. So because it's there is a geolocation, if I move, I will keep hearing. And for me, it's interesting that there is an overlapping of the voices.
In feminist Montreal,
this conference travels walks.
Then, Hasta Fira, a Latin American-based collective that produces sound artworks from political marches and protests. The Arrow essay would take the form of a sonic collage, inviting audiences to embody the experience of walking while listening to these interviews. The soundscapes are produced by Bibas, and the street interventions by Collage Feministes and Feminicides Montreal. The audio will be activated with your walk, using the cell phone geolocation to trigger the sounds in the selected routes. In this walk, you will hear three different languages, Spanish, English, and French. The path of each interview will be visible in the digital map, with an interviewee description card. Along the route, you might find collages placed in the street. Get closer to them to hear the soundscape produced by Vivas. You can choose to listen to this walk through headphones, but we recommend it to hear this with another person using your cell phone speakers or Bluetooth speakers. This option will open a collective listening into occupy the streets with their voices and soundscapes.
It is usually about violence done to women and gender violence, and in particular, it goes on the whole spectrum of violence, from just street harassment to a feminicide. So we are part of the collective Féministe de Montréal, which is a collective that does a street collage in the district of Montreal. It is usually about violence done to women and gender violence, and in particular, parfois c'est symbolique aussi par rapport à nous-mêmes. Ça peut être quelque chose comme un exemple, mais ça peut être juste significativement si on a vécu une violence à ce moment-là, ou si c'est devant la porte de quelqu'un qui nous a fait violence. On est ouverte aussi à ce genre d'initiative plus personnelle de. Pour réparer, pour faire une justice réparatrice à travers les actions du collectif. Et parfois, c'est symbolique aussi par rapport à nous-mêmes. T'sais, mettons, ça peut être quelque chose comme... j'ai peut-être pas d'exemple, mais ça peut être juste significativement si on a vécu une violence à cet endroit-là, ou si c'est devant la porte de quelqu'un qui nous a fait violence. On est ouverte aussi à ce genre d'initiative plus personnelle de... pour réparer ou pour faire une justice réparatrice à travers les actions du collectif. Et parfois, c'est symbolique aussi par rapport à nous-mêmes. T'sais, mettons, ça peut être quelque chose comme...
Il y a deux manières, deux principales manières de choisir les endroits. Premièrement, il y a un endroit qui est beaucoup plus comme pratico-pratique, là, comme on met sur pied la gang, qui peut participer, on choisit un quartier. Puis là, après ça, ça se fait de façon très spontanée. Donc, on marche dans le quartier. Quand on voit un mur qui a soit beaucoup de visibilité ou que le matériau du mur se prête vraiment bien au collage, comme on le choisit de façon spontanée, puis on s'organise. Sinon, il y a des séances de collage qui sont aussi plus organisées à l'avance. On choisit un monument, une statue ou un lieu significatif où on a envie de coller dans le pays. On organise la séance en fonction de ce lieu-là. Fait que dépendamment quel genre de séance de collage c'est, ben des fois c'est très spontané, puis des fois au contraire c'est très ciblé, de façon plus symbolique.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Does anybody need translation?
Yeah.
So I'll just summarize a couple of the things that were said in these two interviews. One was about the kind of tactics or strategies that are used in terms of selecting a message. And that can be either symbolic and sort of abstract, or it can be very personal in an attempt at... in an initiative that's sort of focused on reparative justice, so a response to a personal experience that a member of the collective might have experienced themselves, or perhaps if they are approached by someone who is a survivor of a specific act of violence, and there can be a message that would be framed in response. They were also talking about the sites that they select for the collages, and there's one of two ways. One is they could be very drawn to a particular material, like a type of wall, a type of surface that is well suited to collage, and then sometimes it can be a monument or another kind of part of the built environment that has a that has its own symbolic, you know, meaning, and to intervene on that surface or on that that structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the case of that one over there. When we were walking, we were like, oh, that seems like a very keen with some of the words that were spoken. Thank you. That's actually great.
Pas juste être un collectif de colère. C'est important de s'inscrire dans la société, en m'interrompre, de s'inspirer de cette mouvance-là. La société n'est pas fixe, c'est pas figé, nous non plus. Il y avait 5 personnes dans le collectif, là on est plus de 60. Fait, c'est sûr que comme la diversité des points de vue, la diversité des tactiques, la diversité des discours, c'est comme tout ça est vraiment enrichissant. Fait. Et comme tu dis, le collectif est toujours en mouvement. Mm-hmm. C'est important d'écouter ça. En la dernière année, il y a eu des événements dans l'actualité aussi qui ont fait réagir, qui nous ont fait réagir. Il y a des discussions qui ont été ouvertes. Tout ça, c'est important. C'est important de ne pas juste être collectif au collage. C'est important
de s'inscrire. Now she's saying that. The collective has grown enormously over the last 2 years, from initially about 5 people to over 60, and that represents like a very wide diversity of, I mean, there's so many points of view in a group that size, so many different approaches to tactics and to styles of intervention, and then it's important that they remain current as a political force, and that they're sort of informed by events in the news and the evolving conversation that they are having amongst themselves as a collective.
Thanks. Is it working, the speakers?
Yeah.
You're it's not working. Okay. I think it's like this. Okay. You don't mind to listen?
No.
Okay.
You can listen to the others.
No, I'm listening to everyone. It's okay.
Les hommes cisgenres. Donc, les personnes en clair, les personnes queer, les personnes trans, que ce soit hommes trans, femmes trans, qui sont devenues bien collectives et en font partie intégrante. Donc, c'est vraiment uniquement les hommes cisgenres qui ne peuvent pas joindre le collectif. C'est vraiment important pour moi de nommer ça. On dirait que parfois, comme c'est fondamental, on le prend pour acquis, puis on oublie de le reverbaliser. Alors que je pense qu'il faut toujours rendre ça explicite, que notre collectif se veut un collectif de formant intersectionnel.
And two important points. One, that it's a non-mixed space that's open to all groups excluding cisgender males. And also that she really wanted to insist on the intersectional nature of the multiplicity of feminisms that are embodied by the collective.
Me and she said I was part of that movement and it was awesome and I think it would be great to learn the community. And also, it's very hard to change in the groups who are not legal. It's very hard to take possession of the groups de façon légale. Mais pour moi, ça serait pas cohérent avec le message. Ça serait pas cohérent avec à quel point
She was just saying that while, of course, it could be possible to frame their actions within the bounds of what's legal, it's a very deliberate choice not to do that because she feels that it would be incoherent with the measure of the crisis to remain within legal bounds, that there is no respect for the points of view and the the experiences of survivors of violence, and therefore it wouldn't be an appropriate response to simply go out and demonstrate peacefully in the street, for example.
On a vraiment hâte que la pandémie soit terminée pour plusieurs raisons. Pas se mettre à imaginer, mais aussi parce qu'on a vraiment hâte de connaître le processus et se passer plus en présentiel. C'est un peu de là que tout est parti, puis comme cette inspiration-là qui a traversé l'Atlantique, qui est arrivée au Québec, puis qui continue à faire comme des ramifications internationales. Puis je pense que c'est ça aussi qui est super excitant de ce que les groupes là, c'est de.
She was talking about how this is a global movement and how it's come to these places across from across an ocean, and that's a very exciting thing. And also, she was talking about how anxious the collective is to begin working in post-pandemic ways. So there's been a lot of distance, there's been a lot of separation and isolation, and they're really looking forward to getting live again.
Este es mi cuerpo means this is my body. And this is a very, very powerful statement that part of the collectives from Vivas, from Collage Feministas and Feminicides, it's very medular because we are claiming also autonomy. And the autonomy that we can get through occupying the streets, through actually through actions that embody the space from different mediums, through sound and through collaging, we are claiming our own autonomy in many ways, right? Not only from legally, economically, and also one of the most important parts that you know that the AM movement, the Green Wave in Argentina, was the right of deciding what did you do with your body and the decision of abortion. And that was a huge step in Latin America because that was not legal at all. And that movement in Argentina, which Vivas are part of it, grew also as much as Camille was speaking on the interview. So this is why it's very important to understand that this is our bodies, but we wanted to locate it in Champs de Posil because we have to take care, and as part of the ecofeminism, it's like there should be a parallel of the relationship that we have with nature, and sometimes we kind of forgot that it's also a peer-to-peer conversation. And we found that this, there is so many kinds of feminisms. There is not only one single feminism, but ecofeminism is resonating so much with collage feminicides more, and they are like be campaigning. For us, this metaphor of this is our body, this is our body, and this is our body was kind of like a very important link to make in the space. We don't know how long this is going to last, but we want to also create that connection within the space. And yeah, let's keep walking.
On vivait quand même un grand inconfort, en même temps, c'est vrai que ça a été comme vraiment journée marquante parce que, à travers tout ça, ben, le lendemain, on est retourné parce qu'on avait tout le jour avant. Puis le jour après, on est retourné, puis il y avait tout le monde qui venait, des passants qui venaient se recueillir. Puis au Québec, c'était un événement où tellement de gens ont des liens avec des gens qui ont été à la Polytechnique ou qui connaissaient des victimes. T'sais, le Québec, c'est assez petit pour que tout le monde ait son histoire de lien. Fait que je pense que tout le monde est touché vraiment vivement par rapport à ça. Donc, il y a vraiment eu un bel impact sur cette action-là. Puis,